This is the Living Homegrown Podcast, episode number 17.
Welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast, where it's all about how to live farm fresh without the farm. To help guide the way to a more flavorful and sustainable lifestyle is your host, national PBS TV producer and canning expert, Teresa Lowe.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast. I'm Teresa Lowe, and this podcast is where we talk about living farm fresh without a farm through artisan food crafts like canning and preserving, growing your own organic food, and just living a more sustainable lifestyle. If you'd like to learn more about these topics or my online canning courses, just visit my website, livinghomegrown.com. This week's episode is all about getting the right yield when canning. Have you ever experienced this? You go to make a really great canning recipe, and the recipe states that you get a certain number of jars when you're finished. So you prep those jars and you make the recipe. But at the end, you either end up with way more or way less. So in other words, the recipe might say you should have 4 pint-sized jars when you're done, and you end up with like 2, or you end up with 6. Well, what happened? Did you do something wrong? Is it a bad recipe? What's the deal? Well, it's probably not you, but let me explain what happened. First of all, you should know this is very, very common. It happens to everybody, newbies and advanced canners. It really isn't anyone's fault. It's not really that you've done something wrong or that the person making the recipe did something wrong. It can be something completely different. So let me explain the 2 main reasons that you get such a huge discrepancy when you're canning. The most common reason is a measurement discrepancy. Sometimes the recipe developer or the person who created the recipe measures a little bit differently than you do. Now, I don't mean that they measure a cup of liquid or a teaspoon of spice differently than you do. That's pretty universal. But sometimes when a recipe calls for something that can have air pockets during the measuring process, like a chopped apple or freshly chopped basil leaves, the recipe developer, the person who created the recipe, may pack a little bit more or a little bit less into that cup than you do when you make the same measurement. And that can have an impact on the final outcome. Now, just a little side note about this. When you look at measuring discrepancies like I've described here, you can see that it all comes down to volume versus weight in measuring. A perfect example of this is when you're measuring something like a cup of chopped apples. So let's say your recipe calls for 4 cups of chopped apples. When you make that recipe, you chop your apples really roughly and leave the chunks fairly large. If you do this, you may end up with less apples per cup than the person who developed the recipe. And this is because the more air pockets are around larger chunks and they fill in the space as you measure. So if you were to weigh 4 cups of roughly chopped apples and measure 4 cups of finely chopped apples, the roughly cut apples would weigh less because it has more air pockets. It really does make a difference. Does this make sense? Okay, so this is why many people feel in the cooking industry that you should only cook or make preserves by weight. And it is true that weight is the most accurate way to make a recipe. And if you were doing commercial canning, you absolutely would be weighing the fruits and the sugar and everything. You'd be using weight measurements rather than volume measurements of cups and quarter cups. But most people here in America do not use kitchen scales. That's just the way it is. So here, most people measure by volume, not weight. And that's why most American cookbooks use volume measurements or sometimes both. But just so you understand the difference between a volume measurement and a weight is always more accurate because a pound is a pound is a pound. But when you're chopping up fruit, a cup is not necessarily the same as someone else's cup. Do you get that? Okay. But here's the good news. Although there are exceptions, in most cases, it is perfectly okay to use volume measurements with most canning recipes, because most canning recipes are pretty forgiving. And thank goodness they are forgiving, because when you think about it, every batch of fruit that we use can be completely different from the fruit we used last year or even last month. It can have different natural sugars, different amounts of pectin. It all depends on how it was grown or where it came from. So there's always going to be some discrepancies in the fruit that you use. So it's good that canning recipes give you a little bit of leeway on volume measurements. Now, another reason that you might have a different yield in one of your recipes is the water content of the produce. Like I said, every batch of fruit, every batch of vegetables can have a little bit different growing conditions. And one of the things that can change from year to year is the water content of that produce. It's all based on the growing conditions, the time of year it was picked, its ripeness, and how long it's been sitting on the counter. All of those things can make a really big difference. Now, in this instance, it doesn't matter if you measure by weight or volume. The water content can make a difference in how that produce cooks down and the final yield that you'll get. So you may have more water in your fruit than the person who developed the recipe originally. That extra water might make it take longer to gel because more water has to be cooked off. Or you might even get more preserves in the end, or the reverse if your fruit has a lower water content than what it was original for the person who developed the recipe. Does that all make sense? Okay, I hope so. So if this is the case, you either have different growing conditions or maybe you're chopping things a little bit differently. But what are some things that you can do as a canner to try to have as close to the proper yield as possible? Okay, here are some tips. Whenever you set out to make a canning recipe, just keep these things in mind. First, pay careful attention to what it specifies in the recipe as far as the cuts needed. Does it say roughly chopped or does it say finely chopped? Make sure you try to follow the recipe the way it was designed. If you're not sure, always go for the fine chop. Use more fruit rather than less. That always seems to be the magic thing that works for me. Also, notice if they say things like hand-packed leaves or firmly packed leaves when measuring something like basil. These terms generally mean that you should press down on the leaves into the measuring cup as you measure them. You don't just place them in all fluffy into the cup. Also, keep in mind that it may take you more or less time to get the gel or cook off the water in a recipe. So even if it has cooking times as a guide, it's just a guide. It's not the rule. So if it says cook 8 minutes or until it boils, don't worry if it takes you 15 minutes to get that boil. You understand what I mean? Those time measurements are guidelines. Go for what you need. Wait until you get the gel or wait until you get the boil. Whatever it is you're trying to do, don't just go by the time and then move on to the next step. That time may not necessarily work for you based on your particular fruit or vegetable. And lastly, whenever you are canning, always prep a few more jars than you think you're going to need, just in case. So if the recipe says you're going to make 4 pint-sized jars from this recipe, I always prep 6. I always prep a couple extra. So I hope that helps a little bit. I know when I was first starting out canning and I would have a discrepancy in the yield, I thought I did something wrong. So just know it's probably not you. It's probably not even the recipe. It could be as simple as the fruit is a little bit different from you than it was for the person who developed the recipe. It could be that simple. If you'd like more information on getting a good canning yield, including photographs of some of the things I'm talking about, or just canning in general, be sure to visit my website. I'll have information in the show notes for this episode. Just go to livinghomegrown.com/17. That's /17. So that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope that helped you, and I'll be talking to you next week more on all of these topics. In the meantime, just keep working on your food choices that are local, seasonal, delicious, and homegrown. See you next time.
That's all for this episode of the Living Homegrown Podcast. Visit livinghomegrown.com to download Teresa's free canning resource guide and find more tips on how to live farm fresh without the farm. Be sure to join Teresa Lowe next time on the Living Homegrown Podcast.
So if you were to weigh 4 cups of roughly chopped apples versus 4 cups of finely cut, let me try that again. First, pay careful attention to the cuts needed. Like, is it a rough cut or does it say to do a fine cut? First, pay careful attention.